Members and guests, please rise for the invocation by Representative Cheetah and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Members, on your desk is a copy of the prayer for today. The Anima Christi is a prayer that dates back to the 14th century. It's a prayer of reflection used after the conclusion of Eucharistic celebrations in many Catholic churches. I wanted to use this prayer yesterday on Ash Wednesday, but since I was off premises, good Representative Jeremy Trebus allowed me to say that prayer today. So after the beautiful prayer that we had provided in song last week by Representative Durham, pardon me, it's my hope to make a joyful noise with this prayer. Soul of Christ, sanctify me. Body of Christ, save me. Blood of Christ, inebriate me. Water from the side of Christ, wash me. Passion of Christ, strengthen me. O good Jesus, hear me. Within your wounds, Lord, hide me. Separated from you, let me never be. From the evil one, protect me. At the hour of my death, call me. Jesus, call me. Close to you, Jesus, bid me, that with all thy saints I may praise thee. Praise you forever and forever. Praise you forever. Amen. Praise you forever. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The clerk will take the roll. Representative Anderson.
Here.
Representative Usher.
Mr. Speaker, 100 members are present.
Quorum is present and the House is ready for business. Before we do introductions, a couple of quick points. We are not working Saturday this week, and we will also be doing third reading first today. Are there any introductions? Representative Cheetah.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I be off the record now of the journal for the purpose of an announcement?
So ordered.
Many of you members know that yesterday Representative Mitchell's cousin passed away. And it was unexpected. Only 40 years old, died of a heart attack. So I was wondering if we could ask for a moment of silence, Mr. Speaker.
So ordered. Representative Cheetah.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And may I be on the record and in the journal for the purpose of an announcement?
So ordered.
Members, you will find on your desk a sheet of paper titled The Sentinel Project. The reason I was gone yesterday was I was attending this meeting. Yesterday, Montana Attorney General Austin Knudsen announced a new partnership between the Department of Justice, the Montana Beer and Wine Distributors Association, the Lifeguard Group out of Missoula, and the Montana Chiefs of Police Association to fight human trafficking in Montana under the agency of the Sentinel Project. The Sentinel Project was created by the Montana Beer and Wine Distributors Association in partnership with the Lifeguard Group based in Missoula to spread awareness and action steps to MBWA distribution employees statewide. Beer and wine distributors are in a unique position to aid in the fight against human trafficking. They are eyes and ears on Montana's highways and have access to locations often unseen by the public or law enforcement officers. Employees across Montana have participated in this awareness training and are equipped with multiple ways to quickly contact authorities and statewide human trafficking hotline 1-800-1-833-406-STOP if they spot suspicious behaviors. Montana's independent family-owned distributors are honored to work with the Lifeguard Group and the Department of Justice as they add hundreds of additionally trained personnel to aid state and local law enforcement in ending this heinous criminal activity. The Sentinel Project has only begun its work, and Montana's beer and wine distributors are looking forward to partnering with others in the hospitality industry and beyond to make this the beginning of the end of human trafficking. Additional information may be found in an article in today's Helena Independent Record. I will also have website and contact information available for anyone who would like that information. The MBWA invites and challenges all legislators, leadership, and citizens of Montana to learn more about human trafficking at mbwa.org/sentinel-project. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Knave.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise for a point of personal privilege.
So ordered.
Mr. Speaker and members of the House, yesterday I rose to comment on HB 295. As it turns out, I was wrong about clinical social workers' educational qualifications, and I apologize. I did not intend to mislead anybody with incorrect information, and I will be changing my vote. Thank you.
Representative Rhonda Knudsen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I request to be off the record and out of the journal for the purpose of an introduction, Mr. Speaker.
So ordered.
In the gallery behind me, if you would stand, is a group of hardworking Montana citizens who traveled here today to personally participate in a bill hearing. They are all members of the Montana Solid Waste Contractors Association. The members who I had contact with today were Mr. Chad Bauer, Mr. Lonnie Johnson, Alan Bowker, Scott Shreves, Lance Johnson, Chance Sparrow, and Mike Junger. Many of these gentlemen traveled over 1,000 miles round trip, and it's snowy out there, and it's uphill both ways. So they worked hard to get here, Mr. Speaker.
Welcome to the House. Representative Lear.
Mr. Speaker, I request to be off the record and out of the journal for the purpose of an introduction.
So ordered.
In the balcony today, I have my wife, Stephanie, my daughter, Evelyn, and my son, Arnson. They traveled 1,000 miles round trip, too.
Welcome to the House. Representative Keene.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Did you say we were off Saturday, Mr. Speaker?
We are off Saturday.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Mercer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise on a point of personal privilege.
So ordered.
You know, Mr. Speaker, seeing the family of our colleague from Richland County takes me back. If my father were living today, he would have turned 97 earlier this month. And I make that point for two reasons. First, in January, when somebody noted it was my birthday, the minority leader passed me a note, and she said she thought that I was relatively well-preserved for a 90-year-old. And I just want to make sure that the record reflects that's a biological uncertainty. But the real reason why I rise is to say that a life-changing event for me was my father's decision to run for this House in 1972. And so when I was roughly that age, I got the great pleasure of sitting in those chairs on Saturdays when my mom would bring me over here. My brother and I were honorary pages. And I sometimes realize I don't know why the sergeant allowed that in 1973 and 1974 and 1975, but it was a lot of fun. And, you know, it set me on a path to pursue public service that I'm very grateful that he decided to go in that direction, and I know the speaker appreciates that given his history as well. Sometimes it's easy for me to forget what it was like being there and looking at that mural and thinking about the grandeur of this building. And in those moments when I was 9 and 10 and 11 and 12, I couldn't imagine that there was anything being done by anyone in this state that was more important than what my dad was doing in Seat 27. And I think that spirit washes over everything we do every day. So I hear some of the stories on this floor about the personal difficulties that people faced in their own families. I did not face that. I had tremendous opportunities, and I wish that for a broader number of our citizens. And we need to continue to try to open the doors to this building to not only family members, but people who would see it the way we do for its majesty and the importance of what we do here. So try to occasionally just look up there and look around here and think about the importance and all those that came before us. Last comment is that the other thing I learned at age 9 was it didn't really matter whether people were sitting here on this side or whether they were sitting on this side. My favorite people, other than my own dad, were people that sat up there, people like Red Menahan and J.D. Lynch. Because when you're 9 and you're 10 and you're 11, you don't really know what the significance of the votes on the board are, but you do know who the characters are. You know who the people are that you want to get to know and get to really understand. And that's another thing that we can hold on to. So thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Order business number 1, communications and petitions.
None, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number 2, reports of standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, Committee on Education recommend that House Bill 192 do pass, 186, 246 do pass as amended. Senate Bill 182275 be concurred in. Signed, Representative Seth Burgley, Chair. Mr. Speaker, we are Committee on Human Services recommend that House Bill 299 do pass as amended. Signed, Representative Dennis Lenz, Chair. Mr. Speaker, we are Committee on Natural Resources recommend that House Bill 152 and 382 do pass as amended. Signed, Representative Steve Gunderson, Chair. Mr. Speaker, we are Committee on State Administration recommend that House Joint Resolution 8 do pass. Signed, Representative Wendy McCamey, Chair. Mr. Speaker, we are Committee on Taxation recommend that House Bill 170 and 252 do pass as amended. Signed, Representative Becky Beard, Chair. Mr. Speaker, we are Committee on Transportation recommend that House Bill 306 do pass, 267 do pass as amended. Signed, Representative Denley Logie, Chair. That is all, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number 3, reports of select committees.
None, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number 4, messages from the Senate.
None, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number 5, messages from the Governor.
None, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number 6, first reading and commitment and bills.
Mr. Speaker, House Joint Resolutions 13 and 14, House Bills 455 through 470, 472 through 485 are introduced, read first time, and referred to committee. All are posted. That is all, Mr. Speaker.
That objection will go to order business number 8, third reading of bills.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 39, introduced by Lenz, a bill for an act entitled Provide for Continued Interim Review of Child Protective Services Matters.
House Bill 39, having been read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 99 representatives have voted aye. Zero have voted no.
House Bill 39 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 49, introduced by Beattie, a bill for an act entitled Revised Recording Fees to Support County and State Land Information Accounts.
House Bill 49, having been read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Representative Mitchell.
Yes.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 68 representatives have voted aye, 32 have voted no.
House Bill 49 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 67, introduced by Jones, a bill for an act entitled Generally Revised Community College Funding Laws.
House Bill 67, having read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote yes, those opposed will vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Representative Mitchell.
Yes.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 96 representatives have voted aye, 3 have voted no.
House Bill 67 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 139, introduced by Welch, a bill for an act entitled Revised Death Certificate Fees to Fund Board of Morticians and Funeral Services.
House Bill 139, having read three several times, the question is, shall the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Representative Mitchell.
Yes.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 83 representatives have voted aye. 17 have voted no.
House Bill 139 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 146, introduced by Mercer, a bill for an act entitled Require OBPP to Report Actual Cost-to-Cost Projected in Fiscal Notes.
House Bill 146, having been read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Representative Mitchell.
Yes.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 99 representatives have voted aye. 0 have voted no.
House Bill 146 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 257, introduced by Jedediah Hinkle, a bill for an act entitled Revised Laws Relating to Government Mandates and Businesses.
House Bill 257, having been read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Representative Mitchell.
Yes.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 66 representatives have voted aye. 33 have voted no.
House Bill 257 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 295, introduced by Cafaro, a bill for an act entitled Allow Licensed Clinical Social Workers and Therapists to Treat Chronic Pain.
House Bill 295, having been read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Representative Mitchell.
No.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 75 representatives have voted aye. 25 have voted no.
House Bill 295 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 319, introduced by Buckley, a bill for an act entitled Revised Dates for Special Purpose Elections.
House Bill 319, having been read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Representative Mitchell.
Yes.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 89 representatives have voted aye. 11 have voted no.
House Bill 319 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 15, introduced by Ellis, a bill for an act entitled Revise Election Laws Related to Accessibility for Disabled Electors.
Senate Bill 15, having been read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Representative Mitchell.
No.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 96 representatives have voted aye. 4 have voted no.
Senate Bill 15 has passed the House.
Senate Bill 17, introduced by Gross, a bill for an act entitled Clarify Minors' Ability to Disaffirm Contracts for Housing is Restricted.
Senate Bill 17, having been read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Representative Mitchell.
Yes.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 100 representatives have voted aye.
Senate Bill 17 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 54, introduced by Ellsworth, a bill for an act entitled Require Reviews of Experimental On-Site Wastewater Treatment Systems.
Senate Bill 54, having been read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Representative Mitchell.
Yes.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 100 representatives have voted aye.
Senate Bill 54 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 74, introduced by Solomon, a bill for an act entitled Revised County School Transportation Laws.
Senate Bill 74, having been read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Representative Mitchell.
Yes.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 100 representatives have voted aye.
Senate Bill 74 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 102, introduced by Small, a bill for an act entitled Revised Behavioral Health Licensing Laws.
Senate Bill 102, having been read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Representative Mitchell.
Yes.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 100 representatives have voted aye.
Senate Bill 102 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 110, introduced by Osmond Senate Bill for an act entitled Revised State Employee and Youth System Health Plan Laws for Temp State Share Holiday.
Senate Bill 110, having been read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Representative Mitchell.
Yes.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 80 representatives have voted aye, 19 have voted no.
Senate Bill 110 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 114, introduced by Ellsworth, a bill for an act entitled Revise the Homestead Exemption.
Senate Bill 114, having been read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye, those opposed will vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Representative Mitchell.
Yes.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 92 representatives have voted aye, 7 have voted no.
Senate Bill 114 has passed the House.
That is all, Mr. Speaker.
Without objection, we'll go back to order business number 7, second reading of bills. Majority Leader Vinton.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House resolve itself into a committee of the whole for consideration of business on second reading.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no. The ayes have it. I appoint Representative Lear, chair of the committee of the whole for the day.
Members of the committee, will you please be in order? Members of the committee, you have before you, for your consideration, House Bill 188. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 188, introduced by Logie, a bill for an act entitled, an act generally revising electric vehicle laws, defining electric vehicle, providing for an annual fee on electric vehicles, providing for disposition of the annual fee, amending sections, and providing a delayed effective date, Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Logie?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after had under consideration House Bill 188, that it recommend the same do pass.
Representative Logie.
Mr. Chair and body, this bill, I'll call it the Electric Vehicle Equity Act. Through the years, we've been developing electric cars that are going down our highways now, and we have a gas tax that covers the use of those highways by people using gasoline, but the electric cars don't have a means of supporting the cost of their use on those roads, and that's what this bill is doing. I set up a small schedule, a fee that goes when you go to license your vehicle. A fee would be collected by the treasurer's office, and it would be sent to the highway fund, the restricted fund, the same fund the gasoline tax would go to. And basically what I set up for a fee schedule would be $150 for a vehicle under 6,000 miles. Up to 26,000 miles, it would be $250, which would be your pickups, your one-tons, some box vans. Over 26,000 pounds, it would be $500, plus there would be also a fee for those semis that might be coming through the state. It would be a one-time fee if they get a permit. Or if they register in our state, they would be $500. And the way I came about the fee structure, I figured a vehicle going about 12,000 miles at 25 miles per gallon would have paid the equivalent of about $156 in gas tax. And that's for that 6,000-pound vehicle. For pickups, trucks, and the average in Montana is about 12,000 to 13,500 miles is what's figured. But I figured at 12,000 miles, 15 miles per gallon, they would use about $262 worth of gas tax fuel. So that's how I came at that figure of $250. Diesel, it would be a little bit under. Diesel would be about $241, but that's figuring a low mile of 12,000 miles. So I figured 250 was a reasonable rate. The trucks over 26,000, I only figured at about 10,000 miles and 6 miles per gallon. That came up with that $500 figure. And then the motorhomes would fit into that under $26,000 or 2,600-pound rating. And then there is a schedule, like I said, on the back for the trucks that are going through the state that would get a one-time, either a 200-mile permit, 400- or 600-mile permit. But, Mr. Chair, at this time, I would ask that move House Bill 188 to be amended and request the amendment. Thank you. House Bill 01880020002 and being deemed read, please.
So ordered.
Now, this amendment, Mr. Chair and body, this amendment basically Department of Motor Vehicles and the MCS Department just needed to move the wording. It's still the same $150, $250, $500 structure, but it fit better in the wording just to move a few lines around. So basically, page 18 goes back to, I believe it's page 24, the information on that. But it still comes up with just trying to get some money into our gas tax fund from those that are not paying. And one of the reasons I did have to put the amendment on, and I know the representative up in row one would like this. We might have got wrapped around the axles because in the original bill it listed three axle trucks, and that didn't fit in the structure of the billing. So that was why I added the amendment to clarify that. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Is there any discussion on the amendment? Representative Heyman?
Mr. Chair, I would like to speak to the bill.
Is there any discussion on the amendment? There being no further discussion, does the amendment sponsor wish to close? The amendment sponsor is closed. The question now arises on the amendment of Representative Logie. Those in favor vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Representative Anderson?
Yes.
Representative Mitchell?
Yes.
Are there any absentee votes?
None, Mr. Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 100 representatives have voted aye.
Amendment is passed. Is there any discussion on the bill? Representative Heyman?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I rise reluctantly in opposition to this bill. This bill would require electric vehicle owners to pay an annual registration fee of $150 for an electric vehicle weighing less than equal to a ton, and $250 for electric vehicle more than a ton, $500 for electric vehicle with more axles. My point being is that we cannot resolve the revenue loss for our roads by increasing the costs for electric vehicle owners. We have a large number of people who travel our roads, who drive electric vehicles, who are not residents of the state of Montana. And I think this bill puts an undue burden on those owners. In addition, General Motors has just said by 2025, 40% of their manufacturing will be electric vehicles. So this is an issue that's not going to go away. I would encourage a study bill on this so we can come up with something that's fair and equitable. I mean, every electric car owner I have talked to understands that they're going to have to pay some fees. But I think doing this in a vacuum is not good policy. So I'm going to be a no on this bill.
Representative Hill.
Mr. Chair, speak to the bill.
Representative Hill.
I rise in, a mild reluctancy to this bill. I think that the form of taxation here on this, when you purchase a vehicle, I think that needs to be diverted more to a point of use, some type of wherever you plug your vehicle in to charge it up. I think the fee should be to be where you get your electricity and not at the purchase of the vehicle. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Cheetah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Would the sponsor yield to a question?
Does the sponsor yield?
Yes. Yes, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Logie, do electric vehicles cause any impact to our roadway surfaces in Montana?
Mr. Chair, Representative, that's one of the reasons, it's the main reason I brought this bill, is because they do the same damage to a road as any other vehicle down the road and requires the same maintenance on that same road.
Follow up.
Yes. Go ahead, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, Representative Logie, so since electric vehicles are not using fuel, diesel or gasoline, which has a tax associated with it, do we currently have any way to extract from those vehicles a user fee to help with that maintenance on our highways?
Mr. Chair, at present and Representative, at present we do not have any way of tracking that use and tracking those miles and recording that use and any other way to gauge the damage they do to that surface. Thank you.
Representative Keene.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. May I speak to the bill?
Yes. Representative Keene.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We all talk about getting into the current times. One of the greatest things that happened was when Dwight D. Eisenhower put in the interstate bill. Changed our lives. Changed America. Changed delivery of goods. No longer had to have warehouses. You could have on-time delivery of goods. Who was paying the tax? Everybody, because it was done through their fuel. I certainly appreciate Representative Logie's bill for this reason. We have to tax the people that are using the facilities. And electric cars are coming. Self-driving trucks are coming. Electric trucks are coming. And he's come up with a way. And I guarantee you we're going to be in sessions down the road increasing that. And I appreciate this. Oregon's looking at it. Other states are looking at it. Let's get ahead of the times just like everybody else and tax the people who are using the roads so we can maintain the roads and have the great roads we do have in Montana. Thank you for bringing the bill. Please vote yes on this.
Representative Schillinger.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd like to speak to the bill.
Representative Schillinger.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I rise in support of this bill. I'd like to thank you, the sponsor as well, for bringing the bill. And it's a good start. And as my good friend from the front row over there in Butte pointed out, it's a good start in helping people to pay for the roads that we drive on. And it'll help raise our federal match as well. So I think it's a good start, and I would urge everyone to vote green. Thank you.
Representative Holman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. With this bill sponsor answer a question, please.
Does the bill sponsor yield?
Yes. Yes, Mr. Chair.
I'm wondering, you said the money goes into the gas fund. Is it going into BARSA or is it going into HESRA?
Mr. Chair, Representative, it's going into HESRA, the original gas tax.
Okay. I asked that question because you need to understand if fund goes into HESRA, then that does not change the amount that goes to counties. But if it went to BARSA, then the counties would be getting about 65% of the money. So, thank you.
Representative Galloway.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I rise to support this bill. Just I've thought about this for a long time as to how we're going to address this situation. And I admit that it's not a perfect solution, but it's a start. And until we come up with a better idea, and all of us are available to work on those ideas, we've got to do something because we're seeing more and more of those vehicles, and we need to continue to take in enough tax to maintain our roads? So I'll definitely be a green. Thanks.
Is there any more discussion? There being no further discussion, does the sponsor wish to close?
Mr. Chair and body, I feel this is the start. We know we have more electric cars coming on the road every day, and I'm not against electric cars at all, and this is not meant to punish electric cars. What it is to do is just help pay for those roads that they use. And the cost of the roads and bridges these days keeps going up and up and up, and this is one way to help deal with that. So everyone that's using those roads are paying, and I would ask for a green. Thank you.
The question now arises on the motion of Representative Logie that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 188, it recommends the same do pass. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed, vote nay. Are there any absentee votes? Oh, Representative Anderson?
Yes.
Representative Mitchell?
Yes.
Are there any absentee votes?
None, Mr. Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 81 representatives have voted aye, 19 have voted no.
House Bill 188 has passed second reading. As amended. Members of the committee, you have before you, or have before your consideration, House Bill 207. Will the clerk read the title of the bill?
Mr. Chair, House Bill 207, introduced by Durham, a bill for an act entitled, an act revising laws related to school bus lighting, authorizing the use of additional flashing red lights on school buses, amending sections, and providing an immediate effective date, Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Durham?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had it under consideration House Bill 207, that it recommend the same do pass.
Representative Durham.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is an easy bill, or at least that was my opinion 4 weeks ago. A special thank you to the committee that gave a very thorough vetting of this simple bill. And very good questions by all members on that committee. And the conclusion I brought forth after this process is that we all share the same common belief that we value very much the safety of our children. That's the objective. The means to get to that objective is, I think, where we struggle and argue. Specifically, House Bill 207 allows for additional optional flashing red lights to be activated on a school bus once it is stopped at a school bus stop. We've recognized that the school bus is the safest means of transportation for our children to get to and from school. We also recognize that the weakest link in that process is actually at the school bus stop. That's when the children are at risk and exposure to the other traffic. This would allow a school bus system with the permission, if you go to page 3, line 6, with the permission as prescribed by the Board of Public Education. They are still in the approval seat on this process. This bill allows for, again, the optional lights. Before this bill, the law as it is today, a school bus was restricted to only 4 flashing red lights. And they were prescribed where those would have to go. So that's really all this bill does. Again, I thought it was very simple. The process was complex, in part because of our great love for our children. So on that note, a special thank you to the legislative process. I know it's frustrating for all of us trying to get our bills through committee, but the wisdom of our predecessors before us that got us to this process. The opposition is important to make sure that we have the right product that gets past the finish line. And especially, I'd like to thank the lobbyist, without naming him, but thank you for your work at making this a good bill. So members of the House, I ask for a green light on this bill. And on a small note, there's, I hope, 2 more school bus bills coming your way. And please keep an open mind on these important bills.
Is there any discussion? Is there any discussion? There being no further discussion, does the sponsor wish to yield? Sponsor has yielded. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Durham that when this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration House Bill 207, it recommends the same do pass. Those in favor vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Representative Anderson?
Yes.
Representative Mitchell?
Yes.
Are there any absentee votes?
None, Mr. Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the bill.
Mr. Chair, 100 representatives have voted aye.
House Bill 207 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 218. Will the clerk read the title of the bill?
Mr. Chair, House Bill 218, introduced by Hopkins, a bill for an act entitled An Act Generally Revising Laws Related to Expression on Campuses of Public Post-Secondary Institutions, Providing Protections for Free Expression and Expressive Activity on Public Post-Secondary Institution Campuses, Providing Penalties for Violations, Providing Definitions, and Providing an Immediate Effective Date, Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Hopkins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 218, that it recommend the same do pass.
Representative Hopkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, for returning members, House Bill 218 might look pretty familiar. That's because this is House Bill 735 from the 2019 session. During its run in the 19 session, it passed across the House floor 71-29, which for the 19 session was a pretty darn bipartisan vote, the majority having grown slightly since then. If you will remember, when we were talking about it specifically with this version, we were talking about the individual speech rights of folks on campus, and that, you know, whether it's students, whether it's faculty, whether it's just members of the public, whether it's staff, whether it's administrators, what House Bill 218 seeks to do is provide an umbrella of protection across the campus complex of the Montana University system when it comes to people's speech rights. I will sit up here and give a couple of examples, but just about everybody will be able to think of a couple examples themselves, whether it's folks coming up to places where folks are tabling, whether it's student groups or whether it's individuals or folks that are just on campus for something else, and you have people coming up to your table, taking your stuff, ripping up your stuff. They don't like what you're saying. They don't like the information that you're handing out. That's a violation of your speech rights. When it comes to inviting an individual to campus to speak, whether it's to a student group or whether it's to a group of students or whether it's to a department, and you have a bunch of folks that will go and try to get that shut down so the individual can't come to campus, that's a violation of folks' free speech rights. And even when they come to campus, you have folks going into the place where they're having the speech and trying to shut down the speech. I mean, I think we've all seen examples of that happen. I've seen a bunch of examples of people walking up and literally just grabbing the microphone out of the speaker's hands. That's a violation of some speech rights. And so this bill shouldn't have to be here, but it is here, and it is here not because our university policies are so out of whack. I actually really like the folks that we have running our university system here this day. The 218, as well as an accompanying bill that you'll see relatively shortly, they're here in the legislature because in almost all of these situations, what you have is some individuals that are having a bad day. You know, they might have some political preferences one way or another, but they're having a bad day, and they decide to take it out on the folks in these situations. Emotions run high, and, you know, the fact of the matter is they just can't handle the truth. And the truth is that all of these individuals have speech rights, and whether you like what I'm saying or don't like what I'm saying, whether I like what you're saying or don't like what you're saying, I don't have the right to shut you down, and you don't have the right to shut me down. And to the extent that a college campus is great, or the extent to which a college campus is great, is the extent to which they protect these kind of speech rights. So I was really happy with the group of folks who worked on this last session. I think the product in front of you reflects that work. It's a great bill. I'd ask for a green vote, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any discussion? Is there any discussion? There being no further discussion, Representative Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for the sponsor.
Does the sponsor yield?
I yield. In reference to the to the bill, the language talks about free speech. It also talks about expressive activity. What exactly did you mean by that?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, I mean, so at a 30,000-foot view, what I'm really trying to do in a general sense, both with this bill and the next one, is make sure that if anybody's trying to, and I guess I probably should have included this in the opener as well, if anybody is trying to in any way regulate speech, that that regulation is content neutral as well as viewpoint neutral. And so really what we're talking about is you have a student group, say a Planned Parenthood student group that's out on campus handing out T-shirts, or you have a meeting, or you're out at a table talking about how you love pro-choice, blah, and I come up and I specifically try to shut you down specifically because I'm pro-life and I don't like what you're doing. And I'm trying to use, whether it's the student conduct code, whether it's student government reg, whether it's university guidelines, trying to use that to shut you down. And what we're saying here is you don't get to go after people for their expressive speech rights, and you don't get to go after anybody in a way that's not content neutral and not viewpoint neutral, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chair, Representative, thank you.
Is there any more discussion? Is there any more discussion? There being no further discussion, does the sponsor wish to close? Sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Hopkins that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 218, it recommends the same do pass. Those in favor vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Representative Mitchell.
Yes.
Are there any absentee votes?
None, Mr. Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 95 representatives voted aye, 4 have voted no.
House Bill 218 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you have before your consideration House Bill 272. Will the clerk read the title of the bill?
Mr. Chair, House Bill 272, introduced by Stromswold, the bill for an act entitled An Act Generally Revising Motor Vehicle Laws, allowing a person to register a vehicle for up to 5 years, establishing that fees in lieu of tax or registration fees are non-refundable, eliminating scheduled replacement of license plates, amending sections, and providing a delayed effective date. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Stromswold?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 272, that it recommend the same do pass.
Representative Stromswold.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the body. Today I have before you House Bill 272, and there are two purposes to this bill. As many of you know, the current law requires vehicle owners to replace their license plates every 5 years. This bill simply gets rid of that rolling reissue and lets you keep your plates for as long as you like or until they are visibly damaged or illegible. Additionally, House Bill 272 allows the vehicle owner to pre-register their tags up to 5 years. It doesn't change the amount you pay, it just multiplies it. So it wouldn't affect the amount you pay to the organization if you have specialty plates or your state park fee. It's a fairly simple bill, and I strongly urge a green vote. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Is there any discussion? Is there any discussion? There being no further discussion, does the sponsor wish to close? Sponsor has closed. Question now arises on the motion of Representative Stromswold that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 272, it recommends the same do pass. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Representative Mitchell.
Yes.
Are there any absentee votes?
None, Mr. Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 94 representatives have voted aye, 5 have voted no.
House Bill 272 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 276. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 276, introduced by Cafaro, a bill for an act entitled, an act adding 2 certified behavioral health peer support specialists to the Board of Behavioral Health, incorporating behavioral health peer support into the Board of Behavioral Health duties and amending sections, Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Cafaro?
Mr. Chairman, I I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 276, that it recommend the same do pass.
Representative Cafaro.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, House Bill 276 puts two peer support specialists on the Board of Behavioral Health. Peer support is an evidence-based, cost-effective model of health care delivery for those experiencing addictions or mental illness. While peer support specialists are required to have training, they have plenty of regulation and oversight, and they are certified, they are unique in this way from many other professionals. And that is that one of their requirements is that they have experience, direct experience with these issues and are in recovery. I shake so bad I can't read my notes. A treatment court judge who presides over the Veterans Treatment Court and the co-occurrence courts in Missoula said, and I quote, "Our participants with peer mentors have been more successful than those without." I was listening to the radio a couple months ago, and the reporter was interviewing three veterans. And the question was, what is one of the biggest challenges that you have faced in coming home? And they all said one of the biggest challenges, if not the biggest, was being able to have someone to communicate with. They had the challenge of being able to communicate with family and friends because those family members and friends had not gone through combat the way these veterans had. And so I speak, and so what they said was how amazingly healing it was to be able to talk to another combat veteran because they understood. And that's the power of peer support specialists and peer-to-peer mentoring. I say all this because I want you to understand how important it is for peers to be on the board that oversees them. They bring value service to the healthcare system. Thank you.
Is there any discussion? Representative Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Speak to the bill.
Representative Hill.
I think this is a really good bill. It went through my committee. I would like to say, though, that we did have a good discussion about the number of the members, the added peers. I would like to talk to the sponsor later, possibly about a mild amendment to replacing those two new members instead of the committee going from 9 to 11, just keep it at 11. But I think I'm probably agreeing on this, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Representative Kearns.
Mr. Chair, a question for the sponsor, please.
Does the sponsor yield?
Mr. Chair, I yield.
Representative Cafaro, can you help me out? Now, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the Board of Mental Health specifically deals with licensure. And to put two members on the Board of Mental Health that are not licensed would seem to contradict one of their principal duties. Am I missing something here?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, 1 minute, please. Mr. Chairman, Representative, this is the Board of Behavioral Health, and they do oversee peer mentors currently, and peer mentors are certified, and the Department of Labor has a document here that speaks to their licensing requirements. And so they are already being overseen by the board, whether they're certified or licensed, but in this case, it would appear they are both.
Follow up? Or does the sponsor continue to yield?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Representative.
So, I noticed that at the top, on the title of the bill, it says we're crossing out licensed for ultimately certified because they do not have a license, and ultimately adding or changing behavioral health specialists ultimately because they're not licensed, they're certified. So I'm just understanding, I just kind of want to understand more how that actually comes about, because it seems to me that we already have a number of people who are on this board who are social workers, professional counselors. So as much as, you know, at the end of the day, you made a point that there was a question, really, as to somebody who's a peer within the military, I just want to know on the makeup of this board how that exactly is going on. So can you help me with that?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, there is definitely certification of peer support specialists. And also, I found on the Department of Labor's website a document that talks about licensing requirements and application checklist for certified behavioral health peer support specialists. So that's the best I can do for answering that question. I will tell you that before they can be certified, or maybe these licensing requirements are in the process, but I can give you the document that I found. Whether they're licensed or they're certified, in Montana in 2016, the Interim Law and Justice Committee studied the issues of mental health. And they developed, no, that wasn't the right committee. It was State Tribal Relations Committee. And they developed a bill for the session so that peer support specialist could be licensed. And that was certified, and that was in 2017. Last session, we passed a bill to ensure that peer support specialists could have a payer source of Medicaid. They have, they are required to take a training course before they are certified and according to the Department of Labor licensed, and they work under behavioral health specialists and providers of mental health services.
Mr. Chair, one more question for the sponsor.
Does the sponsor continue to yield?
Mr. Chairman, I do.
Mr. Chair, Representative Confero, can you help me out and help me understand specifically with these peer support specialists the process by which they can have their certification removed? Do you want me to repeat the question? I'm sorry. Did you hear my question?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, I heard your question, but I don't quite understand it. Could you repeat it, please?
Mr. Chair, Representative Cafaro, can you help me out understand the process by which either the Board of Behavioral Health or some other organization would remove the certification of a peer support specialist?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, peer support specialists are certified, and they are they work under the direction of an approved Medicaid home and community-based services provider agency. So they work for an agency that's highly regulated by the federal, state, and even private sector. The peer support specialist is also supervised by a licensed mental health professional. And that mental health professional is licensed and is also highly regulated. The peer support specialists are required to provide documentation. And if you're asking me if the peer support specialist would have their certification removed if they were doing something they weren't supposed to do and not following the rules, that would happen by the board that governs them. And what they're asking of us today, and why I'm sponsoring this bill, is because they're governed by a board, but they can't sit on the board and have anything to say about their profession. So that would be the board's job, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Frazier.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to speak to the bill, please.
Representative Frazier.
Some of you guys might know that I'm a veteran of the United States Army, and being able to reach out to my peers, especially during difficult times, is probably the reason why I'm still here today. So peer support specialists are awesome. This is a great bill, and I would really, really hope that you guys would vote green on this. Thank you.
Is there any more discussion? There being no further discussion, does the sponsor wish to close? Sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Cafaro that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 276, it recommends the same do pass. Those in favor will vote aye, those opposed vote no. Representative Anderson?
Yes.
Representative Mitchell?
No.
Are there any absentee votes?
None, Mr. Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 83 representatives have voted aye, 17 have voted no.
House Bill 276 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 290. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 290, introduced by CHEETA, a bill for an act entitled, an act creating the Self-Storage Insurance Act, providing for insurance, leisure, licensure for operators of self-storage facilities, providing rulemaking for the Commissioner of Insurance, providing requirements for self-storage insurance, providing for applications and fees to sell self-storage insurance, providing for operator license penalties, providing rulemaking authority, and providing definitions, Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative CHEETA?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 290, recommend the same do pass.
Representative CHEETA.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is the third bill I've carried for this organization. All of them have been initiated by the self-storage operators in the state of Montana. What they're asking for in this bill is the ability to sell insurance on the belongings of the renters. It has nothing to do with the property insurance of the facility itself. It has to do with the property of the renters. In some cases, renters have homeowners or renters insurance that covers those items inside, but in many cases they do not. So this bill was brought to allow those those self-storage operators to offer insurance to anyone who might want to take them up on it. It did not require that they purchase insurance in order to rent a facility or a storage unit from them. It simply gave them the opportunity to protect their belongings, and it was done in a way that did not require the self-storage operator or their members, their employees, to be licensed insurance agents. So it was a self-regulated, self-imposed request to offer an additional service so that individuals could protect their belongings. With that, Mr. Chair, I move that House Bill 290 be amended and request that Amendment HB 02900010001 be posted and deemed read, Mr. Chair.
So ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This particular set of amendments, and while it looks like it may be somewhat onerous, I assure you it is not, was brought about because of some conversations between the self-storage operators and the Commissioner of Insurance, who had some particular wants to tighten things up. So I'm not going to go through the whole thing because I believe you're all capable of reading what's going on, but I'm going to give you some for instances. If you go to page 1, line 18, following the word apply, they've simply inserted an authorized representative, and then it provides the meaning of what that authorized representative is. If you go to the very next line, line 19 on through 20, it strikes after the word state. It takes everything out from or any website, call center site, or similar location. So it removes, anything that has to do with a facility that might not be located within the state. If you go to page 2, line 9 through 10, after the word agreement, it simply inserts self-storage insurance coverage may be offered on a month-to-month or other periodic basis under an individual, commercial, or group policy. So that's the type of change they were looking for. Something that tightened it up so that somebody didn't have to purchase a policy for a year. They could do it for a month at a time or a couple of months at a time. So with that, I request a due pass on the amendment, Mr. Chair.
Is there any discussion on the amendment? Any discussion? There being no further discussion, does the sponsor wish to close? Sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the amendment of Representative Cheetah. Those in favor vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Representative Mitchell.
Yes.
Are there any absentee votes?
None, Mr. Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 98 representatives have voted aye. 2 have voted no.
The amendment passes. Is there any discussion on the bill? Representative Galloway.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I felt we had a good hearing on this and some of the points that brought up that you might wonder why storage units would need this, because you could just add it to your homeowner's insurance. But it was a point brought out that a lot of times these folks are moving from one place to another, don't have current homeowner's insurance. So I really think it's a good idea. Also, some folks thought it was going to cost the state, but it's actually through the licensure. It'll be a income source for the state. So for that reason, I'm agreeing. Thank you.
Representative Wendy Boy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question for the sponsor.
Does the sponsor yield?
I yield. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On page 6 of the bill, on line 1 there, where it says imposes fines not to exceed $500 for each violation or $5,000 in aggregate for violations, what is the current penalties for this particular one?
Mr. Chair, pardon me, Representative Wendy Boy, this is a new section. There is no penalty now because they're not offering this particular product, so there is no penalty for a violation of the marketing of insurance and not meeting the requirements set forth in the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any further discussion? There being no further discussion, does the sponsor wish to close? The sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Cheetah that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 290, it recommends the same do pass. Those in favor vote aye. Those opposed vote nay. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Representative Mitchell.
Yes.
Are there any absentee votes?
None, Mr. Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 78 representatives have voted aye, 22 have voted no.
House Bill 290 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 303. The clerk will read the title of the vote. Title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 303, introduced by Kazmaier, a bill for an act entitled, an act increasing the Class 8 business equipment tax exemption, providing a reimbursement to local governments and tax increment financing districts under the entitlement share program, to school districts through guaranteed tax base aid, and to the Montana University System for loss of revenue, providing a statutory appropriation, amending sections, and providing an applicability date. Mr. Chair?
What is your pleasure, Representative Kazmaier?
Mr. Chair, I move that when the committee does rise and report after having none through consideration House Bill 303, that it recommend the same do pass.
Representative Kazmaier.
This bill is the governor's big job acts bill. So it's doing one little thing. It's increasing the exemption for business equipment tax from $100,000 to $200,000. While doing that, it has to do a couple other things, provide money back to the local communities and to the school districts. So this bill has a big impact on small businesses. It's estimated it's going to provide tax relief for 4,000 small businesses across the state. This is critical at the time of COVID-19. It's hit the small businesses the hardest. It's a broad-based tax reduction. It's going to help farmers, ranchers, restaurants, so many more businesses in Montana. So with that, I recommend a do pass to support small businesses in the state of Montana.
Is there any discussion? Representative Abbott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I rise in opposition to House Bill 303. You know, this is the first of a handful of tax expenditures we'll see on the floor this session that leave a hole in the budget, aren't targeted at who needs the most help, and where families that depend on programs and services will pay the burden. You know, the business equipment tax over the last three decades has dropped from 11% to 1.5% for equipment valued between $100,000 and $6 million, and it's dropped to 3% for equipment valued over $6 million, and the first $100,000 is already entirely exempt. You know, this isn't designed to help the small businesses that got hurt the most during the pandemic, and those are the kind of policies that I want to support. As a result of these policy changes, right now, only 9,000 businesses pay this tax. 20 years ago, 36,000 paid it. The fact is that small businesses don't pay this tax. We need to watch out for working families and small businesses that really got hit hard during the pandemic. This doesn't do that, so I'm a no, but I look forward to seeing some policies that do.
Representative Thain.
Thank you, Chair, members of the body. Montanans are hurting. That's been a common refrain throughout this session. And today on the floor, as well as repeatedly in committee, we've seen efforts to address the needs of small business, but we haven't seen any effort to address the working families of Montana. This bill carries a fairly significant fiscal note, nearly $4 million. And as the bill sponsor referenced, there are provisions within the bill to make payments to local governments who will lose revenue as a result through the entitlement shares. There's also an attempt to make school districts whole through additional payments through the guaranteed tax base. The issue, however, is those $4 million, in order to make those payments, come from the general fund. And there's a cost, a true cost, and that's cost to the essential services and programs that we provide to everyday working Montana families. They're the ones who pay the price ultimately. As was referenced, the exemption has been reduced over the last two decades from 11% to its current 1.5%. And the exemptions have increased from $5,000 to $20,000 to $100,000. Now we're proposing $200,000. And yet, I requested, but I have not been able to find a single metric that shows that that's enhanced business recruitment to Montana, nor that it has helped Montana businesses to expand. Everything's anecdotal. So Montana businesses certainly suffered during the pandemic, but I think we need to consider the impact on Montana's families. So previously, the property tax paid by business and corporations on business and equipment made about 15% of property tax revenue. That's now reduced to about 5%. Correspondingly, the percent of property taxes paid by residential homeowners has increased from 38% to 50%. That's real impact on Montana taxpayers. I think it's important that we consider very carefully the impacts of this bill. The bottom line is that this takes revenue from the general fund, and it imperils the very necessary essential services and programs that support Montana working families. I encourage you all to consider voting no. Thank you.
Representative Dumwa.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the body. You know, I agree with the sponsor. It has been a very tough year, and a lot of Montanans are hurting badly. We're all in agreement on that fact, that it's our job to help people rebound and rebuild better than ever together. I really don't think this bill is the way to do it, though. So I will be opposing it. You know, Montana has no statewide general sales tax, so businesses save money with the initial purchase of that piece of equipment. And then they save money on an ongoing basis every single day because they don't pay a sales tax on raw materials they need to do their business, foodstuffs for restaurants. Stock.
Speak to the bill.
Yes, I do believe it has something to do with the bill and the need for a business equipment tax, which we do because we don't have a general sales tax. Moving on, Mr. Chair, we already rank. Montana ranks as a great business tax climate state. According to the National Tax Foundation, Montana is number 5 in front of neighboring North Dakota at 17 and Idaho at 20. We're in the top 5. So giving a break to Montana's largest businesses, and this is what this does, it's not going to get money into the pockets of Montana families who need it most. And it's not going to help the Main Street businesses who've been hit the hardest. And we want to help. It's our job as legislators to invest in the people who really, really need the help. This bill doesn't pass that test. I feel we have a responsibility to fight for legislation that will actually make a difference in the lives of our neighbors who need our help. We can do more to increase wages, lower taxes, and create jobs for Montana working families. This bill leaves those families by the wayside in favor of cuts for big business. Let's do better. Vote red.
Representative Hopkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, first, just because I said I'll rise on it every single time during this legislative session, businesses have not suffered because of the pandemic. Jobs have not been lost because of the pandemic. They've suffered and been lost because of a government-instituted, government-enforced shutdown and reopening. The second thing that I would say is that this bill in no way, shape, or form imperils any essential services from the state budget. That's not the way that the budget works. This is a great bill. Vote green.
Representative Beard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the body. I'm voting green on this bill. This bill is our faith and expectations of our state's small businesses and farmers. And we are behind them, and we are going to help them grow their businesses by giving them a break where they need it so we can have more jobs, better paying jobs. Vote green. Thank you.
Representative Malone.
I was on a tax committee. May I speak to the bill, Mr. Chair?
Representative Malone.
I was on a tax committee. We had a good debate on that bill. I certainly support it. This is a bill for small business. It helps small business, and the small businesses are the ones that employ Montana families. Thank you.
Representative Usher.
Mr. Chair, speak to the bill.
Representative Usher.
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to remind everybody, we've talked about this before. Montana working families work for small businesses. And although the government has shut down a lot of businesses temporarily, some of those businesses will never come back. So the government is paying those people on unemployment more, so they don't even want to go back to work. We need to get these small businesses back up and going full steam ahead. And these government entities that are standing in the way are standing in the way of Montana workers and Montana families. This is a great bill. Vote green.
Representative Skies.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I rise in support of this bill. I've been here since 2011 on and off, and we've been trying to get rid of the business equipment tax ever since then. Every time we come back to this chamber, we eke a little bit more out of this bill. My first introduction to this bill was in 2011, and I met a businessman who brought his entire label-making company to a little town north of Whitefish. And when I asked him why he moved here, his response was, because I didn't do my homework. It's because of this tax. This tax takes money away from your business before you make even a dime of revenue. It taxes you on your ability to produce. You want Boeing to expand in Helena? Get rid of this tax. You want a big outfit to build giant machines in Montana? Get rid of this tax. When you look at the big companies that would invest in Montana, they're only going to do it if you get rid of this tax. Go to your dentist. Ask him how much he's paying for the equipment in his office. He'll tell you, get rid of this tax. This tax benefits Montana families because it provides a living wage out of those big companies that could come here. This is a pro-jobs bill. This is a pro-Montana bill. Let's get rid of this tax.
Is there any more discussion? There being no further discussion, does the sponsor wish to close?
Yes, Mr. Chair. This is a small business tax cut. And when you help small businesses keep more money in their pockets, they will spend it in their local communities spend it on their employees, and that increases the economy in the local communities. I ask for a due pass for small business of Montana.
The question now arises on the motion of Representative Kashmir that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 303, it recommends the same due pass. Those in favor vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Representative Mitchell.
Yes.
Are there any absentee votes?
None, Mr. Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 68 representatives have voted aye, 32 have voted no.
House Bill 303 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, have before you for your consideration House Bill 303. The clerk will read the title of the bill. Oh, sorry, 322.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 322, introduced by Patelis, a bill for an act entitled, an act submitting to the qualified electors of Montana an amendment to Article 5, Section 4 of the Montana Constitution to increase the residency requirement for the legislative candidates and providing effective date. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Patelis?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 322, that it recommend the same due pass.
Representative Patelis.
Members of the body, this is a bill that will change through constitutional amendment the residency of an individual running for legislature from 1 to 5 years. This is a nonpartisan bill. Times have changed in Montana. We have a lot of people moving into Montana. And really, it's not fair to the people of Montana to have somebody representing them that really doesn't know the people of Montana, the culture of Montana, and it's a pretty simple bill. And again, it's nonpartisan. We have Democrats moving in. We have Republicans moving in from out of state. Let's allow the voters to make the decision on this. I would appreciate a green vote by everyone. Please. Thank you. Open for questions.
Is there any discussion? Is there any discussion? There being no further discussion, does the sponsor wish to close? The sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Patelis that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 323, it recommends the same due pass. Those in favor vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Representative Mitchell.
Yes.
Are there any absentee votes?
None, Mr. Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 75 representatives have voted aye, 25 have voted no.
House Bill 323 has passed second reading. 322 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, have before you for your consideration House Bill 325. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 325, introduced by Usher, a bill for an act entitled, an act establishing Supreme Court districts, providing for the selection of the Chief Justice, providing that the proposed act be submitted to the electorate at the 2022 general election, amending section and providing an effective date and an applicability date. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Usher?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 325, that it recommend the same due pass.
Representative Usher.
Mr. Chair, members of the body, House Bill 325 is about having the Supreme Court justices elected by district. They're the only part of our government that is statewide So number one thing that my constituents ask is during election time, who do you vote for? And the question comes about the Supreme Court and district court judges, and I say, well, I don't know the Supreme Court justices who's running. They haven't come around in the circuit. You know, all the other people that are running for statewide, they go around the circuit, and we all get to meet them at central committees. These judges that are running for Supreme Court do not do that. They're actually not allowed to do that. So basically, I think we ought to move it to district. I think it would represent our base a little bit better. I think the people of Montana, our citizens and our voters, would be able to get to meet them. They'll have a smaller district. And I think this bill will send it to the constituents or to the electorate to be able to vote on that decision. And I think we ought to trust our citizens and let them vote on it, like we have so many other times with great initiatives, ballot initiatives. So I vote go green.
Is there any discussion? Representative Tenenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. With all due respect to my colleague from Yellowstone County, in 2012, a bill doing exactly what this bill does was found to violate the Montana Constitution. At the committee hearing for this bill, we were told that may be true, but it's possible that the court that made that decision could reverse itself. The only way to find out for certain, I guess, is to pass this bill and then get sued and then watch a bunch of lawyers fight it out for a couple of years. It's going to cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. Now, what are the odds that the Montana Supreme Court will reverse itself after 9 years? You know, we could bet. Would you bet hundreds of thousands of dollars on your own money on those odds? If we're not willing to risk our own money on those odds, then maybe we shouldn't be taking that same risk with taxpayer dollars. So if we want to do something symbolic, fine, but we should do that with our own money. We should not be wasting taxpayer dollars on symbolic gestures. This is an easy and obvious no vote. Thank you.
Representative Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've heard a lot of discussion on this floor about local control. Here's your local control. When the Supreme Court of the state of Montana consists of lawyers strictly from Helena, the people that live in the outlying areas of Eckalaka, Troy, or anywhere else in the distant regions of the state have no idea who the people are who are running for the state Supreme Court that make decisions all the time that are so vital to the everyday life of Montanans. This is a bill that would give to people the opportunity for them to know who their state Supreme Court judge is, because each district representation. This bill is as old as English common law that goes back to the 13th century, where bills, judges, and trials had to be held in the district within which everything took place, so people knew what was going on and could trust those who were involved in the decisions. This bill is a reversion to local control for the state Supreme Court, and I urge agreeing. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Is there any more discussion? There being no further discussion, does the sponsor wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, I will. After I fumbled the beginning part, I'm just looking for 5 yards here. I forgot to mention that this also allows every election, after every election, that the Chief Justice would then be voted on by the 7 sitting justices at their first meeting with the new court. This bill was ran in 2011. It did pass all the way through past the governor, made it to the Supreme Court, Montana State Supreme Court. And this bill has been fixed based on their decision. Their decision and the difference between that bill and this bill is that bill required that the justices live in that district of one of the one they're running for. Our Supreme Court said that that was not constitutional. With that said, I think, again, that this bill will reflect better the diversity of our state, because those people in Baker would not vote for and have the same core values as someone from the western side of our state. Or it might be a difference between someone from Red Lodge versus Haver. They're not going to vote for the same core values. That's what I'm trying to get, is the Supreme Court candidates to get out, meet the people, shake their hands, understand, see them eye to eye, instead of trial lawyers and other big dark money, truthfully, coming from out of state, trying to dictate who we all vote for because of their money and their advertising. We want to see these people eye to eye, face to face, and shake their hands and get to know them. Please vote green for the people, so the people in Montana can make this choice.
The question now arises on the motion of Representative Usher that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 325, it recommends the same do pass. Those in favor of the motion vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Representative Mitchell.
Yes.
Are there any absentee votes?
None, Mr. Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the speaker, if not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 63 representatives have voted aye, 37 have voted no.
House Bill 325 is passed second reading. Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 365. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 365, introduced by Trebus, a bill for an act entitled, An Act Revising Motor Carrier Rate Regulation, Revising Class B Motor Carrier Application Requirements, Amending Sections, and Providing an Immediate Effective Date. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Trebus?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration House Bill 365, that it recommend the same do pass.
Representative Trebus.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this bill removes taxis considered Class B motor carriers from Public Service Commission or PSC review over the rates that they charge. So with this, the PSC will no longer be responsible for that process. As rideshare rates are not subject to review by the PSC, this levels the field for taxis. This does not change driver's licensing regulations, DOT rules, or insurance requirements. And that's the summary for this bill.
Is there any discussion? Is there any discussion? There being no further discussion, does the sponsor wish to close? Sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Trebus that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 365, it recommends the same do pass. Those in favor vote aye. Those opposed vote nay. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Representative Mitchell.
Yes.
Are there any absentee votes?
None, Mr. Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 98 representatives voted aye. One has voted no.
House Bill 365 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 383. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 383, introduced by Usher, a bill for an act entitled, An Act Generally Revising Laws Regarding Motorcycle Endorsement on Driver's Licenses, clarifying that a motorcycle endorsement is not required to operate a three-wheeled motorcycle, and amending section, Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Usher?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration House Bill 383, I recommend the same do pass.
Representative Usher.
Mr. Chair, members of the body, I bring this to you for several reasons. A lot of reasons happen to do with the past. One, I forget how many years ago. I remember when ATVs, you had to have a motorcycle license. I'm not sure why we ever had that, because you cannot pass a motorcycle license test with a four-wheeler. So we repealed that. Smart move. Last year, this bill actually was put on as an amendment on the Auto Cycle, which was the Polaris brand, for a single manufacturer. We passed that because it had three wheels, and they wanted to take it off because it is not a two-wheel motorcycle. Why should you have to have a motorcycle license? So we did pass it on an amendment with that, sent it to the Senate. And that bill sponsor was a little upset with me because I failed to ask him in advance for permission to put it on his bill, although it was kind of a last-minute thing. So he got a little grumpy at me and said, bring it next year as a it's a single bill and I'll sponsor or I'll co-sponsor it and support it, which he did sign it. So evidently he's not as grumpy this session. So again, this is for three-wheel motorcycles. There are no classes. We've tried to get the university system, which runs the motorcycle safety classes, to create a class for three wheels. They have not, don't have any desire to. So anybody, say for instance, if you're elderly or handicapped and you have never ridden a motorcycle and don't have a motorcycle license, if you want to buy a trike, a three-wheel motorcycle, you have to get a two-wheel motorcycle license. So if you're a handicapped and you can't, or elderly and you can't hold up a two-wheel, because with two-wheel motorcycle you have to put your feet down. The three-wheel motorcycle you don't. Two-wheel motorcycle leans. A three-wheel motorcycle does not lean. So if you cannot handle a two-wheel motorcycle for the test, you're not going to pass the test. There are some places in this state. There's some places in this state. Some of the motor vehicles, someone might, if they feel like it, follow you on your trike and then just check off some boxes and say, yeah, they look safe to me, which is not really legal. So what's happening is, and for those of you that don't know, I do own a motorcycle shop. My customers, if they've never had a motorcycle or a motorcycle license, will come in, they want it, they buy it, and then they're driving around without it. So I'm asking us to repeal this, just like we have for the auto cycles and also the ATVs, so people can actually be legal with what they're already doing. So I ask for a go green.
Representative Durham.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Would the bill sponsor yield to a question?
Does the sponsor yield?
No.
Representative Durham.
I'm still waiting for a yes.
Does the sponsor yield?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and the Honorable Representative for carrying this bill. Would this bill filter the requirements a person needs to operate a three-wheeled motorcycle?
Is there a question there, Mr. Chair? Because I didn't understand one, did you?
The concept of filtering, would it filter the requirements obligated for the driver to have a driver's license?
So, Mr. Chair, if you're talking about the bill from the other day, not getting your question, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll rest my concerns.
Representative Hill.
Mr. Chair, will a sponsor yield to a question?
Does a sponsor yield?
Yes.
Good sponsor. My question is reference to a motorcycle with a sidecar. How do you, what does that fall into? Can you pull in with your sidecar on and I guess what I'm getting at is I think there's a way to skirt this issue without a motorcycle endorsement if you have a sidecar.
Mr. Chair, Representative, this a sidecar would be a three-wheel motorcycle if it has two wheels and then a third one off to the right. This does not define what that three-wheel is, and it would not, with a sidecar, you would not, again, safely, you would not have to put your feet down. It does not lean the same way a motorcycle does. It's a completely different configuration. But to be able to drive that motorcycle with a sidecar, currently you have to have a two-wheel motorcycle license. And it's not the same. It does not drive the same. And we have asked, again, we have asked for a separate classification, both from the training people, and they're just not doing it.
Mr. Chair, thank you.
Is there any more discussion? There being no further discussion, does the sponsor wish to close? The sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Usher that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 383, it recommends the same do pass. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Representative Mitchell.
Yes.
Are there any absentee votes?
None, Mr. Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 94 representatives have voted aye, 6 have voted no.
House Bill 383 has passed second reading. The chair recognizes Speaker Pro Tem Knutson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the committee rise and report.
After having heard the motion of Speaker Pro Tem Knutson, all those in favor say aye, all those opposed no. The ayes have it. Mr. Speaker, I move to adopt the committee report.
Mr. Speaker, we are a committee of the whole, having had under consideration business on second reading, recommend as follows.
Mr. Speaker, I have moved to adopt the committee report.
You've heard the motion to adopt the committee report. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. Clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 91 representatives have voted aye, 2 have voted no.
The committee report has been adopted. Thank you, Representative Lear. Order business number 9, motions. Pro Tem Knutson.
Mr. Speaker, I move to re-refer House Bill 188, generally revise electric vehicle laws and fees, to the Appropriations Committee, Mr. Speaker.
Without objection, so ordered. Speaker Pro Tem Knutson.
Mr. Speaker, I move to re-refer House Bill 272, generally revised motor vehicle laws, to the Appropriations Committee, Mr. Speaker.
Without objection, so ordered. Order of business number 10, unfinished business.
None, Mr. Speaker.
Order of business number 11, special orders of the day.
None, Mr. Speaker.
Order of business number 12, announcement of committee meetings. Representative Lenz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Human Services will meet at 3:10 today. Note that, members, 3:10.
Representative Beatty.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Section E meets tomorrow morning at 8:30 and 472 for executive action.
Representative Durham.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Fish, Wildlife, Parks meets this afternoon at 3 p.m. Room 172, we're taking executive action for at least three bills.
Representative Cashmire.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Ag at 3 o'clock, executive and three bills.
Representative McCamey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House State Administration will be meeting tomorrow at 8 a.m. in room 455, five bills and executive action.
Representative Mercer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Section D, tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock, room 317A for executive action.
Representative Beard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House taxation tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., room 152. We have two bill hearings and five executive actions. Thank you.
Representative Amy Regeer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Judiciary tomorrow morning at 8 a.m.
Representative Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. No House appropriations today.
Representative Matt Regeer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Section B tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, room 102.
Representative Noland.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Business and Labor tomorrow morning, 8:30.
Representative Skies.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Energy tomorrow, 3 o'clock.
Representative Gunderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. No House Natural Resources Friday.
Representative Logie.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. No Transportation Committee tomorrow.
Representative Custer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Local Government this afternoon, 3 o'clock, three bills.
Representative Sullivan. Nope. Never mind. Pro Tem Knutson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the House adjourn and reconvene Friday, the 35th legislative day at 1 p.m.
You've heard the motion of Pro Tem Knutson. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The House convene at 1 p.m. on Friday, February 19th. The House is adjourned.